Hello?
Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies.
Death, 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 death.
Death,
death.
Death.
Stunning.
Hello and welcome to Death, a Funny Haha Business. With Becky Briggs, that's me.
And Natasha Spencer-Levy, that's me. My mum's dead and so's her dad.
Good times. We're basically here to talk about death because it is a funny business and we're here to dispel some myths.
It is indeed.
Have a laugh and talk about quite sad things too,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, because at the end of the day...
We're all going to die.
We're all born. We all die. It's a fact of life. So in the grand scheme of things, are we even talking about death or are we just talking about life?
Today, we've got two exciting guests. We've got Izzy Walton. She's an embalmer, 23, and she was actually part of Stacey Dooley's documentary Inside the Undertakers, which I watched and cried a lot too. And we've got a nice big interview with Lottie Bowser, who is an author and has just released a book today.
That is so,
called
so exciting.
Bittersweet, A Story of Love and Loss, discussing her grieving process. That's excited to have them on.
FUBAR Radio.
Going to welcome Izzy Walton. Mr. Izzy, I believe you are a 23-year-old embalmer who featured on Stacey Dooley's documentary Inside the Undertakers. We're just going to ask you some questions. We're kind of super intrigued as to what it is that you do. I actually watched your documentary that you were in, and to be completely honest, I actually just cried. I found it so emotional, and I found it really interesting as, you know, kind of your take on it. So, like, let's just kind of dive straight in. Like, what first drew you to the world of embalming, and how did you decide that this was, like, the career that you wanted to do?
I've always had like a bit of an interest with like the death industry. I started out quite young. I think I started work experience when I was like 14, which is quite young to do it, to be fair. And I was going to go to Birmingham Uni to go do psychology. And then a couple of weeks before, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So I dropped out of it. And then I got an apprenticeship with AWLM. And then just from then, the first thing I did was embalming. And I thought, actually, I'm really good at this.
But did you... Okay, there's so many questions I have. Like, what makes you good? What makes you a bad embalmer, for one?
Yeah,
but also,
such a good question.
Yeah, actually, let's go straight in with that. What makes you a good and bad embalmer?
Yeah.
I think it mostly lies with attention to detail. Okay. And you have actually got to be interested in what you're doing. Mm. So, like, the more you're interested, the more you want to learn. And it's constantly, like, evolving. So you've got to be intrigued all the time. You've got to want to do it. Mm. And you've got to want to care for that deceased and what you do, passionate, etc.
And so, is it that care that you have for the person that's passed? Is that what drew you to embalming?
Yeah, it is. You kind of treat them as your own in a weird way. Like, I don't know that person. Yeah. I know nothing about them. The most I know is the name, where they passed, and their age. I don't know the family. I've never met the family, but I care for them like they're my own. I want, because I put myself in their shoes, like that's someone's mum, that's someone's dad, someone's son, daughter.
I mean, you are the biggest empath to do anything like that. I mean, did you have any friends or family that were in that business? Because like most people, like work experience, I don't know, you go and don't know what you do, and work in like
spec savers
or like your mum's office or something. Like, this is quite a niche thing to go into.
No, I've got no friends or family in it.
Oh, wow.
No, I didn't know anyone going into the industry. It was just kind of by chance I was able to.
Really,
get into
it was completely random. You got kind of like you would in a normal like school situation. You just got sent off somewhere, and then it happened to be your life's passion. That's awesome.
I know, it's kind of a job for life
now. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. And have you, so you won't know if you've like embalmed anyone like a murderer or
no,
like someone really bad.
Devastating.
No, we won't know that. The most that we know is if they've passed in prison.
Wow.
But again, we don't know details about anything else. Mm. It's very confidential, that side.
And when it comes to embalming, do you find it relaxing, or do you find it kind of, because it's interesting, especially as something that's your job every day. Like, I feel like people either find their jobs quite like monotonous,
Monotonous.
Thank you.
Monotonous?
Monotonous. We're done.
Monday.
So I just wondered if it was like something that you find like enjoyable, relaxing. Like, what's the vibe when you go to work? Like, are you looking forward to it, or is it something that you have to kind of prepare yourself for a little bit more?
In winter, I've got to prepare myself because it gets so busy.
Oh, wow.
What, because more people die in winter?
Yeah, because
a lot more people pass away in winter, and I think it is the coldness.
Yeah.
But it's also satisfying, like the change from like start to finish. It's all about like the colour changes and like the texture, the skin changing.
Wow.
The cosmetic side. Depending what type of case it is, obviously it could be like quite stressful. But it's like reconstruction side of it, and you know, you can spend hours on someone, and it's all about the progress that you make to get to the end point. And then you look at it from like, you think about like how they started and like how they end up, and it's such like a job satisfaction that you get from it.
I think it's like really, like, I find it kind of crazy, but I'm so glad that there are so many lovely humans like you on the planet that can do that, because we do need that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was
but
thinking.
How does this like affect your social life and like, I don't know, like relationships or like people you've dated and like you're on a night out? Because I think I saw something about, I think Stacey asked you a question about when you're on a night out and you were like, oh, I just kind of lie about what I do for a living. Like, I kind of get why you do it, but what's that like?
I think from a social point of view, it does impact it a lot, because not only do I embalm and manage the mortuary, I do on call at night times. So I work throughout the night. So I can't obviously like make plans or whatever. I work weekends a lot. I do overtime and stuff like that. So from that point of view, if people ask me what hobbies I've got, I haven't really got any.
Oh my gosh.
Because I work a lot. But it is an industry that you're kind of married to. You can't really just say, right, it's 5 o'clock, that is it.
Yeah.
There is so much that you can do over time, and, you know.
How do you switch off then? How do you switch off and, like, you know, do you still go clubbing? Like, can you still have, like, a 23-year-old lifestyle?
Yeah, I do the old time, but I'm quite a home bird anyway. Yeah. So I'm at home a lot of the time with my cats.
I hear you, darling. A cup of tea and a book, that's the life right there.
And so, like, kind of one more question for you. Is there anything about embalming process that you wish more people understood or appreciated? Like, it's obviously your, you know, your life, like you said, you're married to it. From an outsider, you know, us not kind of really understanding it and, like, what it's like for you. What are the kind of, what do you wish people knew?
I wish people understood more that it's not a case of hurting someone, or people say a lot, oh, so, you know, you just kind of, I don't know how to explain it. They think it's just makeup. They think it's just a case of doing someone's hair. And it's not. It's a very scientific procedure, and quite like a surgical procedure. And there's a lot of science that goes into it. So you've got a lot of chemistry, got a lot of biology. Like, I've got to know everything that's happening inside the body. And I wish that people understood more that it's a very skilled job. And it takes years to learn. But, you know, for them to be able to see their loved ones and they look so peaceful and stuff, like, there's always someone there in the background doing that for them.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Like, well, thank you so much, like, for coming on and like, explaining it to us, people who have, like, we've got dead parents, but still.
Yeah, well, I would definitely be glad if you were handling one of my
Yeah, you couldn't. Yeah, exactly.
It really does take people like you to, because it's such a it is such a delicate a delicate job, and it's really, really lovely to know that someone as lovely as you can be handling our most precious humans. So.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Izzy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. What an angel! What a sweet, sweet angel. She's lovely.
FUBAR Radio. Hello and welcome to Lottie Bowser. Yes. We've got Lottie here today in the studio. She has actually just released a book called Bittersweet, A Story of Love and Loss today, which is so exciting.
Snaps for Lottie.
Exactly. A little backstory to Lottie for those who don't know Lottie. Lottie's partner, I believe Ben, died from cancer and COVID-19 complications in November 2020. And she was determined to crystallise his legacy and their love into something tangible, which I think is very beautiful. And I'm sorry to kind of say that so abruptly, because that was like, you know, you had a partner and he died.
Somebody died!
But I thought I'd just set the context out and now we can have a bit of fun.
It is what it is.
Well, and also, facts are facts. Amen. I mean, and I just feel like you just gotta,
you gotta keep rolling.
That's it, exactly. And you know what? I've talked about it so much now over the last 4 years that it probably sounds a bit fucked up, but it's like, yeah, that happened.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because it did. Yeah. And you want everyone to kind of know about it because it's happened to you and it's your kind of like part of your life story. Yeah. So can you give us a little bit of context about, so obviously, like, I don't know if you say I'm so sorry. I am genuinely so sorry for your loss, but I know that's like a cliche and people kind of don't know how people always take that.
Welcome to the club. It's sunny. So, we have cookies.
Exactly. So backstory, like my dad passed away when I was 18 and Tasha's mom passed away when you were...
7.
Yeah. So we're here just to kind of talk about death and how it's impacted us. So like it's really horrible to hear what you've gone through, but I'm really intrigued to know a little bit about your book and your inspiration behind it. The kind of just give us a bit of a backstory about why you wanted to write this book and stuff like that.
So I remember one of my best friends saying something to me in the immediate aftermath of Ben's death, and she said she repeated this quote, which is, some people can die twice, right? The first is when they take their last breath, and the second is when the people that they leave behind stop talking about them.
Oh,
and I was like,
I've literally got goosebumps.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
my God.
And Ben was such an incredible person. I was just like, there's no way that someone that great dies in 2020 and stays in that year.
Oh,
I really felt this, not only sense of obligation, but like desire to continue just kind of carrying
shout
his torch
it.
For him. And making sure that his afterglow like continued burning, basically. So I like poured my pain into writing, and it happened very organically. I started sharing stuff on Instagram and that caught the attention of my literary agent, and there's a whole book about him now.
Wow.
That's
can
just
you tell
been
us a bit
today.
About Ben? Like, I feel like we, like, on the topic of, like, you know, legacy and, like, making sure keeping people alive, like, what was he like?
Just the most magical. I feel like everyone says this about people that they lose, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny because some people that didn't know him, sometimes, like, they'll cock their head to one side and be like, well, you would say that, though, wouldn't you? Because we tend to, like,
put people on a pedestal, don't we, as well, when people died.
Yeah, exactly. But genuinely, you speak to anybody that knew the guy, he was just fucking amazing. Just like pure light.
How long were you guys together?
We're together for about 6.5, 7 years. So all throughout those formative years of my 20s.
Yeah, for sure.
24 to 30. Yeah.
That's actually fucking mental. Like you've grown together and then suddenly someone just like disappears.
Yeah.
And you're just supposed, and what are you supposed to do?
Well, that's it, babe.
Was this at the height of COVID as well?
Yeah.
So you were in that space where it was just, I mean, I remember it just being like, it's one of those things where you're so in your own head and then something like that happens. I mean, I can imagine it just is very overwhelming. Were you a writer before?
No, I wasn't.
You weren't? You literally just, it just became, wow, okay.
Yeah, it was just like my number one outlet. It just came very naturally to me. And even talking about it, I just wanted to express my emotions surrounding his death.
What was like the first story that you wanted to tell people when it was like, I need to speak about this? What was the first thing that you were like, I just need to tell Instagram about this person?
Do you know what? I think it was mainly an outpouring of grief and all the anger and like guilt, all the stuff that people don't tend to talk about. Yeah. I wanted to kind of get out there in the first instance. Mm. And I primarily wanted to write a practical guide for grievers because, as you guys well know, people don't talk about this shit and it happens all the time.
Yes.
Literally all the time.
Funny
and
that.
None of us are getting out of here unscathed.
Funny that.
And I felt there was a real need for it. But then my publisher was like, look, you're going to have more of an impact actually telling your story. So
So how did the process of writing help you cope with his death? Like you said, it was kind of therapy for you? Or
Yeah, definitely therapy. And I guess it was also, you know, when when we do lose somebody, it's like we are the gatekeeper of all of those memories that we had with them. And I wanted to just like immortalize them somehow, get them out of my head onto paper so that they could exist outside of me.
Yeah.
And it was really, really cathartic. Yeah. I feel now that there's been almost this closing of a loop. Having finished the book, I'm like, okay, that was a really shit moment in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm moving forwards, you know, I'm making tracks. Like, life is pretty good, actually. I'm making lemonade with the lemons, right? That's all you
can
do.
That's such an optimistic way of looking at it, isn't it? But have you still got, I'm just can imagine, like, you know, I find endings really difficult, like any type of ending still, I find it really triggering. And having like finished a book, you are literally like closing the chapter of like that part of your life.
Yeah.
Did you have another moment where you thought, fuck, I think I'm not over, I mean, not that you're ever over it, but you thought, I'm grieving again and I'm going through that process again? Or was that actually quite cathartic and you feel like, I think I can kind of, you know, never move on, but I can kind of start to go on to the next chapter of my life now?
I think the latter, probably. I mean, there's other things in the works. Like, I'm definitely going to be working within the sort of loss and grief spaces moving forwards. But yeah, I'm kind of relieved in a way. It's been like a really long build up, the culmination of 4 years of work. So check back in with me in a week's time. Because it's publication day today.
Today's an exciting day. So exciting.
I might well
so
be
exciting.
Fucked after this.
What's the plan tonight?
Yeah, that's not always a bad
just
thing.
Just like literally.
What was his favourite drink?
Plunging my weary body into a hot bath and like going to bed at about 9 a.m.
Oh, that's sad. We had this conversation. Yeah, cup of tea and a book. I mean, the dream, really. On the subject of your book, does it start from Ben's death or does it start from before?
No, it takes you through the whole first encounter.
Oh, wow.
Seeing his beautiful face.
Oh, wow. We get the whole love story.
The full shebang.
Wow. Okay, well, that's going to be... I'm going to download that on my Kindle. Yeah. Not NAD.
Okay. Can we get it on a Kindle?
The Kleenex at the ready, guys.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no, that's... Well, it's true. It's real stuff, though, isn't it? And it's like, I think it's good to be quite candid with it. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes I want to shout, like, through... Like, I want it written on my forehead, like, my dad is dead. And this is what he looked like. And this is what he was... He told this really funny joke. And, you know, we went to this place together. And you kind of want to just tell everyone. Yep. And no one really gives a shit. Mm. That's what's quite funny. Yeah. It's like people will pretend and be like, oh,
and
that's
new
nice.
People don't know, and it's like new people you meet don't know, and you're like, I feel like this is the first thing I have to tell you, by the way, because if you don't know right now, I will implode. I think I said this to you before, but it was the first thing I ever told any in my first day of university. We had like one of those icebreaker things, and the first thing I said, we were coming around, everyone was talking about their dogs, and then I got to me and I was like, my mum's dead. And everyone was like, wow. Okay.
One of those like fun facts about
and, like,
yourself.
All my friends are like, yeah, that was literally my first memory of you. And I was like, yeah, that's so interesting. My therapist is absolutely fascinated by that.
But. How was that received, can I ask?
That's a good question. I mean, I think there was a very stagnant silence because I was like, smiling.
Ta-da!
I was like, it's me. And then they were like, okay. And then my acting teacher, because I'm an actress. My teacher was like, okay, well, thank you so much. Moving on. And then all my friends are like, oh, yeah, we were really intimidated by you for the first. And I think for me, it was just one of those things where sometimes grief like that, I don't know about you, but it can become your whole personality a little bit.
It becomes your whole identity. And I guess for you now as well, like it has become your identity because you're writing. So have you... Don't have to answer this, but have you dated anyone since?
Oh, babe, my new partner's sat downstairs in the waiting area.
Amazing.
He's fucking great. Yeah. Like, this is what I mean. Life is so
It doesn't just end for you. Just because it ended for them.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to like grab what is left of your life by the balls and
be proud of living.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the best ways we can honor the people we've lost. Not to sit in our victimhood. It's obviously so shit. I'm so sorry that your dad died. I'm so sorry that you lost your mum, especially at such a young age. It's just fucking inconceivable. Mm. But like we said at the start of this conversation, the facts are facts. So how are we going to move forwards with them? Do you know what I mean?
And
I do feel like we have a varying degree of like agency around that as to like what comes next, what we're going to choose for ourselves moving forwards.
And what comes next for you? Will there be another book, or can
because
it's kind of scary, like what would book two be about? What would that life after, well, I guess, do you include that in your book, Life After Death, for you? A little bit about sort of your new, your second life.
I don't think I would want to write memoir format again. I think it would probably be an anthology of essays, interviews, something really hopeful, like exploring themes that were all touched by, such as death, loss, grief, love, hope. Yeah. We'll see. There's something in the works. There's a seed that's like germinating. I'm not quite sure.
So if you could give like one piece of advice to someone who's like recently lost a loved one, what would that be?
Ooh, many things. But I think, so the one thing that springs to mind actually when I'm asked this question always is this quote by, I think they were a Welsh poet, Rainer Maria Rilke. And the quote is, "No feeling is final." I don't like the platitudes, right? Time heals all wounds. They're in a better place. Stay strong, etc.
That's my worst one. They're in a better place. No, they're fucking not.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if given the choice, they'd rather be here.
Silver linings. No, pretty sure I still want my mum.
But also, it's up to you.
Absolutely.
To determine whether or not there's meaning or purpose.
100%.
Like, not for anyone else to say. Yeah. But the idea that I wouldn't feel that weight of pain forever, that one day I would wake up and it wouldn't be the first thing that I thought about, that, you know, things would feel lighter, I'd feel joy again. That was like the thread of hope that I held on to that kept me going. So no feeling is final.
That's beautiful.
I think that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, I think what you've done is like incredible. And really, I like think anyone who advocates for like talking about death and, you know, even the conversations about, you know, people hate saying died, or no, passed. People are like, oh, he passed away, instead of like, no, he just died, you know? And I think just having these conversations is so important. So I think that, to thank you so much for being here and being on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm just really excited to read your book.
I'm excited to read the book.
Is it like, can I go to like W.H. Smith today and buy it?
You'd have to do it online.
Online.
Yeah, my publisher prefers like the online.
So we're all online now anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I don't remember the last time I walked into W.H. Smith.
Exactly.
W.H. Smith, okay, Rebecca.
Yeah, exactly. No, we'll definitely
read that.
Archaic.
Thank you so much,
thank you so much.
No, thank you for coming in. We've had the best time.
Same.
Slay. Want to drink?
We'll do the game.
Yeah, let's do the game.
What's the game? Can I play a game?
Cool.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. No, you stay, darling.
Do you? Oh. Well, it's up to
you.
Would you like to be part of a game?
A slightly morbid, slightly silly game.
You don't have to be.
I mean, what am I getting myself in for?
It's a fact or myth. So it's a true or false
about
death.
Death and like dead people.
You do not have to be involved in it.
Yeah. What time are we?
You can say no.
You can definitely say no.
Oh my god, walk away, babe.
Yeah.
Do it. No, you want to.
Stop it. What sort of questions? You've like piqued my curiosity.
Okay, just the first one is fact or myth, your fingernails keep growing after death.
Oh right, let's get straight into it.
Okay, cool. It's only 5 minutes.
It's not super creepy. Just
so I'll do a little I'm gonna do a little intro.
Yeah.
So oh, we're good. Cool. So we're still here with Lottie and we're going to play an exciting game. Death the game, fact or myth. So I'm going to read out some questions and we're all going to guess if they are true or false.
Okay, I'm excited.
Or myth. Okay,
I'm excited.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Cool.
Never been more
the
ready.
First one, your fingernails keep growing after death.
Oh, I know this one.
Fact.
Yeah, fact.
The fact because of Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think so.
Super spooky, but it's super real.
Oh, guys, it's a myth.
No, it's not. Yeah, is that a lie? No.
It's a myth.
I'm really competitive. I don't like that. I lost that. I was very confident. I've never been more embarrassed in my life.
Next one. I really don't understand this. Yield the crow a pudding is an old slang term for death.
Beg your pardon?
Do it again.
I think I'm saying it right. Yield the crow a pudding is an old slang term for death.
It's going to be some kind of plague situation,
crow,
isn't it?
Like
yield
on
the crow a pudding.
I'm going to say
it must be true.
Oh, it kind of feels true. Yeah.
Feeding on
the last one was false, so I'm going to go for an AB situation.
I don't know. What is it? I don't know. It's true.
Slay. Me and you are winning.
Amazing.
High fives.
I know. We should be doing like point scores here. Okay. You lose some weight after you die. Believed to be your soul leaving your body.
That is true. It's a very specific amount of weight as well, I think. It's like something like 6 pounds, like 2 pounds or something.
Where does it go?
Or your water weight.
Where does it go?
Do you like wee yourself?
Well, that's what
that's where they say it's your soul.
Just sort of like
but this could be another myth that I believe because I've read too many fantasy novels and now...
I'm gonna, what are we saying? Is it true or false?
What are you going for, Lottie?
False.
What is it?
I'm going to go for true.
False!
Fuck! Sorry,
in
Jesus, Mary, Mother of God. No, this isn't right. I'm supposed to... Okay, I'm fine. I'm going to...
There is a museum in Texas with over 360 photos of the dead on display.
Oh, God, I hope that isn't true.
I feel like that's
Texas.
Fact. I think that's got to be true.
That's got to be true.
And what's wrong with that? That's quite, you know, it's good, isn't it?
No, but if I'd it's like of to, the dead...
I would like a photo of me in a hall.
Yeah.
Like some.
I think it's for me, false. I was just... Oh, wow. These are all... Yaz, these are all false. What is this? I feel like I'm being punked.
I think
right
this
now.
Is this. Yeah, I think they're
I'm
false.
Being punked.
I don't even know what this word is. I know you said you're dyslexic, Tasha, but I actually don't. A person.
Shall I try and read it then?
Yeah, you try and read that
if,
one.
If you can't do it, it'll just be a laugh if I try. A person produces 3 to 9 pounds of cremains. I think it's supposed to say remains.
Is it remains?
Cremation.
Is that cremation?
Remains. That's like slang.
So like...
cremains. Where are you leaving your cremains?
I'm leaving mine on the shelf of my nan's fireplace.
Hopefully right. Not your nan's.
No, shit. True. There aren't any left of them.
3 to 9 pounds.
Oh,
that's quite... I don't know what pounds are. I don't know how much
three pounds are...
I don't think you get money, do you?
Pound. That's like a newborn baby would be what? They always say like, oh, 7 pounds,
yeah, 7 pounds is like a baby, so like...
I would say yes.
Okay.
I would... Yeah, that feels about right.
It's true!
Oh, yay!
Amazing!
Okay, we're back on track, Lottie.
Nailed it.
Next one.
I hope we're not taking score because I'm definitely going to lose. Are you holding score?
I'm not really participating.
Oh,
it's not about winning or losing. It's just, you know.
It is about winning or losing.
Drinking executed people's blood.
Stop.
Drinking right executed people's blood was once thought to be good for you.
Oh, that is probably true. Come on. That is like Tudor England being like,
I think that's Henry. That's such
a Henry
thing to do.
That's a bit of a
Henry
moment.
That's giving Henry.
Yeah.
It's giving Henry.
Big Henry energy. True.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Grim.
Giving Henry. That's our new. That's actually our new slogan.
I love that.
It's giving Henry.
We've got one last one. We're doing well. We're doing well. You do not have to use a hearse to transport a coffin.
I mean, you don't in theory, but
yeah, true. I'd say.
I think that's true.
You can like a van, minivan. Ooh, like a VW mini like van.
I would love to be like transported.
Van.
Yeah, in something like really
cute.
Like
a Fiat 500. That's what you want on the top, strapped to the top. Or a horse and carriage.
Cart. I was literally just thinking
and that.
That
is true. I would not want to do that. It's not true that I would like to be strapped on top of a Fiat 500, but it's true that, yes, you do not have to use a hearse to transport a coffin.
Well, there you go.
And that is the end of the game. And I think we did all really, really well.
We did.
It's all about the taking part.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Well, exactly.
Bravo, friends.
Kind of mental.
Well, you go and celebrate.
You go and celebrate. We're going to take a break, but thank you so much, Lottie.
Thank you.
And we will hopefully see you soon in WH Smith.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Thank you, lovelies. Bye, Lottie.
Bye.
FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Death, a Funny Business on FUBAR Radio myself, Becky Briggs, and...
Natasha Spencer-Levy. That's me.
That's me, Death, a Funny Business.
Death, a Funny Business.
So I kind of want to talk about... Every week I think we should talk about some type of ending.
Oh, do you?
Because I think we always talk about... We always talk about our dead parents. It's really boring.
We're like, my God, our parents died. It's so sad. Maybe we should talk about something that other people who haven't experienced dead parents.
Exactly. And I think grief like comes in so many different forms. So absolutely. I thought we would talk about death, kind of the end of sort of education.
Well, why don't we talk about ourselves? I mean, we went to school together.
We did go to school
back in the day.
Primary school.
17 years ago? 18? I think it's 18 this year.
I can't do maths.
I can't either. But it would be, we were 7. So, and that was crazy. I mean, we left primary school and, oh my gosh, we're such babies when we leave primary school.
Yeah.
Like absolute children.
But you're not really aware of it. And then you suddenly go to like secondary school and then you kind of just go with the flow. And then you kind of suddenly, before you know it, you're doing your A-levels or whatever studies you're doing. And then it's just over. And then you're just kind of like...
And at 18, you're an adult.
supposedly.
And such is life. I think it's really, really wild that often, especially with people who go to university, you are just flung out into the universe completely unsupervised.
Yeah, you do like a quick like IKEA trip before you move into your halls.
And then they're like, here's, off you go.
Yeah,
bye.
Like, yeah, here you go. Do you know how to like cook like eggs on toast and stuff like that? And then you just have to kind of be an adult and do those sort of adult things.
I think it's interesting. I don't know. Obviously, we're talking about the death of the end of education or whatever. But I think it's interesting. I don't know how you experienced it because, but I felt very, very. I was like, when I turned 18 and I left for uni, I was like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. I've lived a life.
You can't tell me what to do now, Mom.
Tell me what to do, Mom. She's dead. Yes.
Sorry.
It's my favourite thing to do in the universe, so don't even worry about it. But
no, but it is one of those things you sort of you end because you okay, let's just sort of paint a picture. So you spend like 18 years at school and then you just
and then you're an adult.
You have like what a bit of a summer to kind of like go and
oh, it was a good summer, you know, though, wasn't it?
But I was so excited because I could go to IKEA and buy my bedding that I wanted.
Was
and
that
like,
it for you?
That
really?
Was why I wanted
it
to
It sounds
leave.
Like the end of secondary school for Becky was just an IKEA.
I just love IKEA.
You're just really excited about those Swedish meatballs.
Swedish meatballs. I know.
She's ready to be in the homeland.
I am actually Swedish for context. Actually, I took a gap year. I took a gap year
Did
because
you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so a gap year. Because my dad died when I was doing my A levels. I then obviously had to do my A levels.
I was going to ask
and pretend like everything was kind of fine, and then just like I don't know, that was like fucking weird exams.
What year was it? Was it 12 or 13?
13. It was like the last year of school.
So,
my dad died in April, and then in obviously exams were straight away, and I was just kind of like, how can I focus on writing about like, you know, Elizabeth the first right
when
now?
My dad just died.
Yeah, so that was kind of weird. So then
a lot to take on when you're about to finish. Like A levels was stressful enough, and then or college or whatever is stressful enough, and then you have to leave for uni. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you stay
so
and do?
No, I just stayed. So basically, I also had loads of like problems with friends because they didn't quite understand how to respond to like having, I don't know, my situation with having a dead parent.
Amen.
And were really weird about it. And I kind of hope that they're now going, oh, I think I was quite mean because they were really
what
mean.
What happened?
Just really distant and didn't know how to speak to me and were kind of like leave me out of certain situations. And I'm very aware this makes me sound like a victim, but
absolutely
I was like
not.
In a very weird place. Like I wasn't very accustomed to having a dead dad, and like it was a lot going on at the time. So I was obviously having to deal with like, you know, in a really exciting time, which is finishing school and you're with your friends and you're celebrating and everything
party
and party.
And
I was just
happy,
like,
and you're like, hi.
Yeah, not like brain fog and not in that space. Like that ending was really weird, like of
absolutely.
School. So then I just took a year out and I don't know what I did. I think I worked for a bit and then
hold on, name them. I want to know who it is. She can tell me off camera later because
no,
I
will not name anyone. Name nobody. But you know, and I'm not even angry about it because I think that everyone, it's such a weird time. Like yes, you're 18 and you're meant to be an adult, but I honestly think that like those people aren't. They're not trained to know what to say in those situations. I mean, you can also try and be a decent human being and trying to be supportive. That is an option. Well, but I also think that, you know, they were going through like their A-level stresses and like they're kind of like working out where they want to go for uni or like whatever they were going to do next. Yeah. So I think that's quite not a normal response, but I'm trying to see some sort of understanding.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think that there's definitely like a level, and this happens even after time. I found very similar situations in a way where my friends who'd never experienced anything like that or had had lives that weren't necessarily like didn't really have a, you know, the saddest thing that happened was their
hamster
fish died you know, 6 years ago
and stepped on their hamster,
you know, their mum didn't give them a fiver for their tooth when it fell out. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it
that must have really pissed you off.
Oh yeah, like the biggest. I mean, and also, okay, here's a little tidbit of information.
Oh, gosh.
And I hate that I'm gonna say this out loud. I went to private school, so it was really horrendous. I basically got bullied to shit at my first at Hillview. Right, shout out. to not the shittest school in the universe, bless, like it was not great.
Yeah.
And then ended up like none of the schools would take me. They were like, you're not Christian enough, you're not like you haven't been to church enough, I'm just a little Jewish girl in Tunbridge Wells minding my own business. And so I ended up at this tiny private school, and the privilege was unbelievable. And yeah, also like we had this very interesting mix of people, and I think that there's this this thing where I remember now as an adult, I'm like, as an adult, lol. as an adult, I
we
feel
are never adults,
yeah,
but yeah,
absolutely. Well, I feel like I can look back and be like, oh, yeah, I get it. Like we weren't trying to be mean, but there's also a level of like really not understanding. And when someone is so like not of that life, like they've had just. They haven't had perfection, you know, but they've had a situation where life has been pretty
well,
chill.
It's all relative,
and like,
though, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, so,
100%.
Like, I always said to people, because people said to me, like, you know,
I don't get it.
I don't know. They'd be like, I really can't, like, I can't really compare my situation, like, my breakup yeah, with your dad's death. And I was like, well,
but like,
no, not really. Like,
no,
they are quite different.
But it's, it is.
I can imagine that my pain of, like, my dad dying, that's the worst thing that's happened to me,
yeah,
right? So, if the
if
worst
the
thing
that's
happened to that
you,
person,
yeah,
that their boyfriend broke up with them, then I guess maybe pain level wise, if there was, like, an actual monitor, I don't know, like,
well,
maybe it would be the same,
yeah,
until their dad dies, and then they're like, no, I was
okay,
wrong.
I get it.
And then they would maybe be like, oh, I'm actually really sorry. That actually did really hurt. I assume that hurt for
but
you too.
I think as well, this is why it's so important to talk about death, and it's important to talk about these things like they're normal, because they are. And it also gives people especially younger people, because a lot of the time, privileged younger people, you know, people who haven't had to deal with something really, really devastating, kind of cannot even comprehend, because their GCSEs, their A-levels are the most stressful things happening. So to try and comprehend something like that.
No, which is completely fair enough. But since saying that, I do think we do grieve endings,
oh, yeah,
and we do grieve,
absolutely,
like, you know, like missing school. Like, I remember speaking to a friend and she really, really still misses school. She's like, I wish I could go back to that.
Yeah.
It's so nostalgic. And, you know, she not that she's gone through anything, but I still think she feels like she's kind of, her childhood is over, and there's this realization that, like, you know, it's not, she'll never be able to go back to that. Yeah. And they were like really like content,
yeah,
happy days. And I can kind of,
yeah,
I get that kind of, you know,
no,
that
100%.
Chapter like ending, and then having to kind of just navigate the real world.
Well, for some people, I mean, especially like for me, 100%, my secondary school, my little private school, was home. I mean, I'd never felt like, I'd never had support like that. I'd never had friends like that before,
mm-hmm,
who just cared about me. Love every single one of those people that I went to school with. Absolutely adored, like, all of them.
Mm.
Never had a situation where I felt safe and cared for, like, in that way, in such a way that was like, you know. And so when it did end, when I did leave school, even though I felt like I'd been prepared really well, which was really lovely and very lucky, it is really hard. It is really hard to leave something, and it's especially hard when if that's been something that's been so safe in a way. I mean, obviously, very, very freaking lucky to feel that secondary school was a safe space, because I know that a lot of my friends who went to other schools did not. And I mean, the first school, I went, oh, okay. But yeah, no, it's like you said, it's all relative. And I think for anyone who's 18, like, leaving school, I think you just have to, my biggest piece of advice would be to, like, friggin' enjoy that shit. And they always, you always say that, don't you? You're always like,
people always go, yeah, enjoy it while you're young.
Miss it.
Yeah, you'll miss it. And you do miss it. You do miss it. Amazing. Well, I think we should end it there.
Should we now?
Together.
End it there.
End
oh,
it there.
Lovely. Well done. That's a good joke.
It's all right, thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You're being the funny one.
I am funny.
You're hilarious.
I am funny.
And beautiful. Becky, I feel like I need your help. Because I'd really like some advice about, you know, how to deal with death and grief, like, in my youth, you know, as a young person who hasn't died yet, thank God. Let's touch wood, because I'm
touch
not ready.
Wood. Well, we're
I'm
about to
ready.
Come to the end of the show now, so I can only offer you, like, one bit of advice.
What's your advice?
Write a will.
A will? What's a will?
Write a will.
Will who?
Yeah, who's Will? Will is someone, he's really protective. Oh. Yeah, he makes sure that you're in a safe, like, long term.
Oh, he sounds nice.
Yeah, he's a really, really nice
guy. Can you give
me
his number?
I think there are plenty of numbers for Will. But, no, genuinely, I don't actually haven't written a will.
Have you not?
No.
Can I recommend that you do too? Because they're hella important. And for any listeners out there.
No, they actually are. I feel like we always think that you need to write, like, you don't need to write a will at our age, yeah, because, like, so what, we're in our 20s.
It's for old
because
people.
We don't have anything. Yeah, like, because I actually, all I could give you is my guitar, and I quite like my guitar, but, like, I don't have a lot of assets to kind of give
like
you.
Like, your shoe collection.
I've got massive feet, so
yeah,
I don't really
me.
Have.
Can I have?
You can't have those.
I don't really want anything. Can I have your hair? I'd
like but, that. And also, like, you know, for, like, future assets that we may stumble into.
I mean, even your guitar has value. Also, just your general property.
Yeah.
If it doesn't...
And protect your family, right?
Absolutely. Because you never know who's going to come along. I mean, we can attest that having parents who didn't have wills when they died, it was super, super,
yeah, I think it's quite complicated.
Different.
And, it's like, if my parents weren't married at the time and they were going to, like, actually, I think they were, like, in the middle of getting a divorce.
They were.
So, like, then what do you, you know, we were just lucky that they were still married. Otherwise, I don't actually know what would happen. So, basically, go and write your will. Will's a nice guy.
Will's a nice guy. Don't forget Will. He's here for you. He's here for your needs.
We love Will.
We love Will. We want Will.
Will. Will protect you. Sorry, that's horrible. Anyway, I think that's enough for the show now. I think
Do you
we've
think
covered
so?
Loads. Well, thank you so much to all our guests today. We had Izzy and Imbama, and we've also had the lovely Lottie Bowser, who's just released her book today. Really exciting to have them on and hear their
females
stories
in power.
And females. We love that. Thank you so much. It's been so fun. Thanks for listening to Death, a Funny Business with Becky Briggs, myself, and
Natasha Spencer-Levy. That's me.
Bye.
Bye.